I've been a professional physicist all of my professional life, but I've been a baseball fan even longer than that. And so it seemed natural at some point in my career that I would start turning my attention away from my sort of ordinary day job, which is doing experimental nuclear physics, into studying the physics of baseball. And so I spend a significant fraction of my time actually doing that. The two primary areas of interest thus far for me are the sort of the physics of the collision between the ball and the bat, and then the aerodynamics that governs how a baseball moves through the air. So among other things, I've worked on trying to understand how a baseball bat actually works, what parameters of the bat make it effective, why some bats are more effective than others, such as aluminum bats, why it is that aluminum outperforms wood, how much does it outperform wood, can you quantify that? These are all things that are sort of current interest in baseball, in addition to many, many other things that have interested me.
So talk about in what ways this research, you know, who contacts you about your research and how they apply it.
My research is all self-motivated. Having said that, once you become an expert on bats, then there are people who want to contact you and are interested in such things are, for example, the NCAA, which seeks to regulate the performance of non-wood bats in order to prevent injuries, in order to bring back the traditional balance between batter and pitcher that had gotten out of balance in the late 80s with high-scoring games. So I'm actually a member of the baseball research panel, which is a scientific advisory committee that provides technical advice to the NCAA on the issue of regulating the performance of bats. Attorneys are interested in talking with me because of injury cases. People sometimes get injured, sometimes in a very serious way, from a batted ball. And so the issue comes up as to whether the particular bat that was used is a bat that whose performance is significantly greater than the typical bat that's used.
Do you have any thoughts, since major leagues don't allow aluminum bats and you only have wood bats, and we see a large number of broken bats? Do you have any thoughts as to why that's happening?
Yeah, actually, I participated as a consultant in a study that Major League Baseball did, I guess it was about 3 years ago, trying to understand why there are so many broken bats. And the answer, when you learn about it, is really an obvious answer. It's because nowadays, major league ball players are using thinner and thinner handled bats. They prefer to have the weight out in the barrel where it does the most good. And it's the thin radius of the handles that's causing all of the breakages. That's I would say, the primary reason.
So what else factors into your research? Obviously, if a certain player is bulky and hits a lot of home runs, it'll have more impact on how hard they hit it, where they hit it.
Well, look. There are basically three overall factors that determine how hard a ball is going to be hit. One is how hard it's pitched. Another is how hard the bat is swung. And then there is sort of an overall efficiency factor that determines the efficiency of the collision between the ball and the bat. The thing that I've studied most extensively is this efficiency factor. That is, I can pretty well calculate based on the models that I've developed, and I certainly know how to measure the efficiency of the ball-bat collision. If you're getting at what effect performance-enhancing drugs might have, it would have effect, I believe, principally on the swing speed. The swing speed, it plays a very, very crucial role in determining how far a ball is hit. It plays the most crucial role. By comparison, the pitch speed plays a very insignificant role. The speed of the ball coming off the bat, it's determined about five or six times more by the bat speed than by the pitch speed. So bat speed is all important. And even the efficiency factor, the efficiency of the ball-bat collision, plays by comparison quite a minor role. So to the extent that batters can do things that will alter their hit speed in a positive way, it might make a difference in how far a ball is hit. Of course, there are allegations that people like Barry Bonds have juiced up over the years, and that increased muscle mass enables them to swing the bat faster. And I completely believe that it's true that if one does have increased muscle mass, And if, in addition, one is a skilled hitter, then that person is going to be able to get a higher swing speed without sacrificing coordination, the ability to get the bat on the ball at the right point in time to have an effective hit.
I guess the things that would factor into that, we don't necessarily just want to take Bonds, but any player as an example, look into, I guess, their age, how fast they were swinging at, say, at 40 plus as compared to their late 20s, early 30s. Would those be some, I guess, the main factors that would go into someone examining whether perhaps he used performance-enhancing drugs?
Not for me. I would not look at those statistics particularly. If you do look at those statistics for Bonds, you discover Bonds had one outstanding year. Was it 2002, or is it one? I can't remember which, in which he hit 73 home runs. He never hit over 50 before or after. You know, he was hitting in the 40s, typically. So he the one outstanding year that he had was quite anomalous. But anomalous years are not at all unusual in baseball. Roger Maris's 61 home run season was an anomalous year. So I would not use the sort of the statistics of how his career has progressed and how his efficiency at hitting home runs has progressed as a way to prove that he has used performance-enhancing drugs.
Well, one thing that has been brought up by sports writers, and regardless of what he's done, there is no steroid for the eye. And we talked about coordination and how that kind of factors into what you study.
Yeah. So look, the things that I believe enable Bonds to hit as well as he does, there are two things. First of all, his swing is so incredibly efficient. There is not a wasted motion. So the way a batter swings, it's really a complex set of biomechanical movements in which the large muscles of the body, the thighs, the hips, the thorax region, sort of gather up energy and transfer efficiently and effectively that energy to the bat. The arms themselves play only really the role of transfer. They don't play much of a role in generating energy. They mostly just transfer energy from the larger muscles to the bat. Bonds is very, very efficient at how he does that. The second thing is that what I like to say about Bonds is that his effectiveness as a hitter largely is above the shoulders. And I don't mean the fat size of his head. I mean his ability to process information quickly. Batting is all about pattern recognition, recognizing a pitch early in its trajectory, realizing that it's a pitch that you want to swing at, sending that information to the brain, processing that information, sending that information back down to the muscles. Bonds does that as well as anyone that has ever played this game. He very rarely swings at a bad pitch. He's got very, very good eye, which explains why he gets as many walks as he does.
So has anybody asked for your help? Maybe somebody has a kid who wants to improve in Little League or maybe a U of I baseball player?
Well, I like to tell the story that every time I go to my medical doctor for a yearly physical, we spend 5 minutes talking about my shape of my body and 20 minutes talking about baseball because he's a big baseball fan and his son plays baseball. And we get into discussions about that. We've had discussions along those lines. But I have actually had discussions with the bat companies about consulting with them, but I'm not interested in consulting with them. I think I could be quite an effective consultant based on things that I know how to do. But I have no interest in that because I think doing that kind of research would compromise my objectivity. Remember, I'm on the other side of that equation working for the NCAA where we're trying to regulate the performance of bats. The bat manufacturers there's an adversarial, we don't fight with each other, but there's something of an adversarial relationship. They're trying to build the best bats they can in order to have a competitive advantage, and we're putting the brakes on and saying, no, you can't build it any better than such and such.
What else do you see your work, how that factors in, whether the college baseball or just the game in general in the future?
Well, one of the really exciting new research tools that has sort of come upon us in the last year or so is that Major League Baseball now has inside each stadium, they will have cameras that are used for tracking pitched baseballs. precisely tracking pitch baseballs, determining the precise trajectory of those balls. That is an enormous wealth of information that could even revolutionize the game in terms of scouting. I mean, that information is useful for scouting, but it's also useful for scientific purposes to learn about the aerodynamics of a baseball in flight. And so I've been actually spending quite a bit of time this summer making use of that data to learn about various things, the amount of air resistance, the amount that a ball, trying to quantify the amount that a ball will breaks when you put spin on it and things like that. These are all things of great scientific interest. And, of course, great practical interest for the game itself.